Good morning, Shades. It's good to be with you today. Hey, students started to leave and I got nervous thinking, what did you already hear about me? I thought there was a mass exodus. Hey, could we say thank you? I'm not sure we stop often enough to say thank you to all of the artists and musicians and the technicians who help us engage. What goes on behind the scenes is absolutely incredible. To do what we do this week. It's a privilege to be with you. Hey, I need you to do me a favor. Play with me for a minute. Out there where you're sitting in the pews today, on the left-hand side, everyone on the left-hand side of the pews, you have a set of cards out there this morning like this. I need you to reach down, all the people who are on the end. We need this little participatory this morning. Thank you, students, for getting up and walking down and grabbing it. Grab a card, and I need you to pass them to the right, down the audience, to make sure everyone has a card this morning. Today, as we're here celebrating our Make Jesus Known as part of our part of the GIC. We're looking for God to be able to do what only God can do if his people will do what his people can do. So I'm glad we're here this morning to be able to celebrate. I would explain those cards, though you're welcome to have an ADD moment and read through those as I just tell you a quick story. I've known Danny for a while. He introduced me, but he didn't tell you when we first initially met back in the 80s. Before I worked for the phone company, we do have that in common, and I was an economics guy in college, so we have some of our background in college. But back in the 80s, I got in a position where I was financially, you know, the jobs were kind of tough at that point in time when I was a little young. Any of you ever been in a kind of a tough financial position where you're like willing to do whatever it takes to make ends meet? So I literally had to go down to like the local unemployment office kind of thing in the county where I lived up in Maryland, and I'm like, listen, I need a job, and I'm willing to do anything. I don't mean just about anything, but anything, because I need a job. I don't know about y'all. So when I went, listen, we don't have any jobs. And I'm like, ah. So the next week I went back. You got a job for me yet? I'm telling you, I'll do anything. Like, I'm trying to make a good relationship with this lady, thinking that she'll like me more. Maybe she'll offer me a job. Like, I brought in chocolate. I was doing all kinds of things to try to appease men. Chocolate works, just in case you don't know. But I'm trying to make the relationship with her, and I'm coming back week after week. I'm like, listen, I'm desperate. I'll do anything. A couple days later, I get a phone call, and the lady goes, listen, it's very strange. I have a short-term job, but it pays really, really well. And I don't know about you, but pays really, really well works for me. Does that work for you all? So I'm like, okay. So I go down into the office. She goes, listen, it's a little strange, but the local carnival has come to town. It's like this circus carnival. For those who know me, that kind of works for me. And they said, listen, they need a job, but it's a little strange. You're not allowed to talk about it. But here's the thing. I need you to go down to the guy. They said they're willing to pay you $20 an hour. Now, back in the 80s, that's like $2,000 an hour today, okay? I mean, it's like some big difference. So I went down there, and the guy goes, okay, here's what you need to do. Come to the back room with me. He goes, okay, here's the deal. We need you to be a monkey. And I'm like, what do you mean be a monkey? Because listen, we need you to put on the monkey outfit. Listen, there's a lot of people that come to the circus, they're here for the rides, but other people want to see the animals, and our monkey is sick, so he's in quarantine right now. We need somebody to be the monkey. And it wasn't like today, because today, if I were to be a monkey, there'd be some student over here like this, Snapchatting, tweeting, going, that's something wrong with that monkey, right? Some organization would be called, SPCA would be trying to save me or something, right? So here I am, I'm like, you want me to be a monkey? He goes, listen, you're in the back, no one will notice, just kind of scratch your armpit, eat a banana, do something, act like a monkey. And all I could think was, $20 an hour, right? And so, okay, I'll do it. I said anything, she got it, I went and did it. I go in there, and as I'm sitting in there, people are walking by, and I'm realizing some little kid comes by and looks at me, and I could hear him mumble under the breath between the bars, like, mommy, that's like a stupid monkey or something. What's wrong with that monkey? And I'm thinking, okay, I like attention. I don't want to be the dumb monkey. So I thought, what do I need to do? So I said, okay, I'm going to eat the banana. So I picked up a piece of fruit and I began eating it. And I began making noises and sounds, not really loud because I didn't want them, you know, they couldn't record me, but I thought, just enough. And so I'm acting out the part of a monkey. And all of a sudden, some little kid's like, hey, mommy, look at that monkey. And that was with a little enthusiasm. And I don't know about you, but all it takes is a little bit to egg me on and I'll start going, okay? So I started acting out a little bit more like a monkey. I moved around a little bit. I was scratching myself. I was climbing up. I was kind of swinging on the edge of the bar. And as I was doing more, there began a little crowd. And I don't know about you, but I like a crowd. Anybody here like a crowd? Okay. Some of you in the back, you don't like the crowds. I get that because Jan and Julie, I met them earlier. They don't want to be called out during the message, right? So I won't do that, all right? So, but on the other side, Miss Sue, she's looking for attention. I'm telling you what, she's over there and she wants it. So, and then Miss Joe, and so here I am. I'm scratching myself, and I thought, what can I do? So I get up and I start swinging on this bar back and forth. And as I do, a couple more people do. So then I notice there's one bar here and one bar here. And I remember when I was 6 years of age, it was fun swinging from bar to bar. Did y'all like having fun swinging bar to bars? Today they're banned for chances of a child being hurt, but in our day, they didn't mind if you had concussions or getting hurt, right? Right? So, you know, I released off of one bar, actually grabbed onto another bar. And when I did, the people began to cheer. Like, look at that monkey play. And I'm like, they're paying attention to me. This is good. I like attention. So I swung from one bar to the other, grabbed it, swung back and forth to the other one, grabbed it. I'm doing good. Wouldn't it impress you? Right, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, what can I do? So I start playing around on these things. They had like this little swing thing. I start swinging back and forth on this swing. I throw my leg up on it. I'm hanging upside down. And then I noticed, and it was a mistake. Again, I didn't say I was intelligent, relatively attractive, but intelligence has never been an argument, okay? And so I swung, and I thought, I'm going to swing from one bar, release myself, and grab the other bar. I mean, it was only like 6 or 8 feet away. In my mind, it didn't seem like a big deal. Okay, and just so you know, I survived because I'm here, right? But so I swung from one bar, reached up, grabbed the other bar. As I did, people began to cheer, and I'm like, woohoo! But the problem was that bar kept propelling forward. I hit the wall on the other side, flopped into the top, rolled over, and landed in the cage next to me. At that point, I look up, and all the people run from one side of the cage to the other, right? And as I turn around, I hear this little boy go, "Mommy, there's a lion." And as I look over, there's a lion 10 feet from me, and he stands up. He doesn't make a noise, but he begins to, at least it looks to me, like he's taking a step towards me, and I back up, and I'm now petrified. Anybody here be petrified with me? So I back up into the corner. I'm thinking, what do I do? Do I scream? I turn around trying to think how big the wall is. I'm wishing there was a swing on the lion side, and there's not. But as I turn around and I'm petrified, the lion takes another step. I'm about to let out a scream, and as the lion opened its mouth, out pops Danny's head, and he says, "Shut up, or we'll both lose our jobs." I swear it's true, okay? No, okay. I'm sorry. I've never been more useless the first 4 minutes of my message, okay? Man, it's a privilege to be here with you today. I'm glad Danny trusts me, aren't you? You know, as we come this morning, I just want to encourage you and challenge you. I mean, I'm so thrilled. I don't know how much of a privilege that you consider it, but it is a privilege to be in a place where the church recognizes the desperate need for God's love to the ends of the earth. And that you have people that you come alongside and you support and that you bless and that you encourage, and that every year, this past year, over 1,000 people from Shades went on trips to go join them at places to the ends of the earth. And that everyone here, especially as we come to the end of the day, have sacrificially considered giving to support all of this endeavor. But I just want to challenge you today, in just a few minutes, to really encourage you, to have you think, you know, long term about your role when it comes to missions, whether you're there or here. And in the Bible, there's a story of a man. It's one of my favorite books in the entire Bible. And this guy had a very unique job. And I want you and I to think about this man's job and to think about what God was doing in his life and about what God was going to do. Because here's what I believe today. I believe God has a message from each one of you that we can learn from this man. And that we can not only join in what God's doing around the world, but we can also even find, even more so today, part of what God is asking of me. If you want to open your Bibles, you can look with me in the book of Nehemiah chapter 1. You can grab your apps and open them up, your iPads, your phones, whatever it is. You can grab that around you. Hey, I apologize. I put it in the NIV today. I know you're normally doing the ESVs. Just so you know, I'll read out of the NIV, so there'll be a few words that are slightly different. And you can follow along on the screens with us this morning, the book of Nehemiah. We're going to read the whole book, and then we'll talk about it for a few, not the whole book, the whole first chapter. Yeah, the whole book, just get comfortable, okay? There we go. So Nehemiah chapter 1. Here's what the Bible says in Nehemiah 1. It says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, now this isn't important now, but this is somewhere around November, from the Jewish calendar. But in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani and I, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. Pause one second. Make sure you're on the same page with me. So for those of you who know part of the story, Jerusalem had made a decision years before to not pay their taxes. And the punishment for that was another king came in and basically slaughtered all the key leaders in Jerusalem, took some of the best young men. You all might have heard of them. It's Hanani, Mishael, and those kind of guys, Abednego. But they ultimately, we name them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And the guy that came along with him is the young man named Daniel. Y'all heard of Daniel before, like Daniel in the lion's den? This is just prior to all of this, the same place, same people. So Jerusalem was ransacked. It was left in ruins, and they were dragged off to this other kingdom. Let's pick back up. Now this guy's asking about how Jerusalem is a few years later. Verse 3, so they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. And when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. And then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who, by the way, it's a great way to start your prayer, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commands. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the decrees and the commands and the laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, God says, I will scatter you amongst the nations, but if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and I'll bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling place for my name. They are your servants and your people whom you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand. By the way, he mentions God, the your aspect, 5 times in one sentence. God, this is yours. Lord, verse 11, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. Love this story in Nehemiah. And Nehemiah's got a very unique job, by the way. But what does it say here? How can you answer it? Nehemiah's job was to be the cupbearer. Y'all get that? Y'all know what cupbearer is? So for those who know the movie Princess Bride, y'all know what I'm talking about with Princess Bride? That'll be about half the crowd who watches Netflix and Amazon Prime, the younger ones, or that middle-aged stuff. The older people are like, really? What are you talking about? Don't worry. Go watch it later today. So, and the Princess Bride, the guy, when he drank the drink, he used to drip in poison every day, just a tiny bit. And that way he drank a little bit every day so that if he ever drank a lot of poison, it wouldn't bother him. Well, that was not what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah's job was to be a cupbearer to the king, which means if someone wanted to poison the king's drink, Nehemiah was the one to drink it instead of the king. So he would take a drink, he'd put it in front of the king, and the king would sit around and wait a few minutes, right? Now, I don't know about you, but I know there's some of you here today, you want a new job. Anybody here looking for a new job today? I want to know this. If your job was Nehemiah's job, though, which is simply this, you die so the king could live. How many of you want to volunteer for that position today? Anybody here got a few? It's always a young man. You've got it, buddy. I've got one. I got two. Give me two. There we go. Got two students willing to do it. It always takes someone under 18 to volunteer for this job. I want you to know. That's why they get you young in the military, because then you'll run after somebody who has a gun and you don't think twice about it, right? You know, I was young and stupid when I went in the Marine Corps. But so here it is, his job. For anybody here that's over 20, you're going, no, I don't want a job that I drink a drink and I die instead of him. Yeah, we know there's jobs like that. It's just not the preferable job. Now, I know some people that are much smarter than me, they'd be like, well, you know, the privilege of the job is you get to be near the king. And I'm going, really? Because if you ever read chapter 2, when he had a sad face, we find out, you know, if you went sad before the king, you know what the king might do? He might cut your head off. Well, that's not a great job either. I'm thinking, as bad as your job and my job is, tomorrow the majority of us don't have to drink poison or get our heads cut off, right? I mean, that's this guy's job. So make sure we pay really close attention to understand what's about to happen. Nehemiah was a foreigner. He was dragged, his people were dragged all the way across to a new land. He was a foreigner with a different language and a place that was not his own, under a kingdom that was not his rule, under an atheistic probably or some other form of God-worshiping people besides his. And on top of all of that, he was a slave to a king whose job he could lose his life at any moment, at any time. Can I say that we should be privileged today for where we live and our jobs that we have, right? Anybody here more grateful for their job today as opposed to this, right? But I want you to know something. This is really important. For those who know this story, what we find out is even though Nehemiah was a slave to a foreign king in a foreign country under a different language who worshiped different gods, Nehemiah was also the exact right person at the exact right place at the exact right time to be used by God to do something that no one else outside of his position could have probably pulled off if only Nehemiah was open to what God was about to do. Does that make sense? But here's what I want to say to you today. I don't know your entire life scenario or your life story right now. I don't know all the circumstances that have come together in your journeys as we look through this and process today. But here is what I believe, and I want to convince you of this today if you don't already believe it. Here's the thing. You need to be able to say today before you leave, I am the right person in the right place at the right time if I'm open to do the right thing. To be used by God. Here's what I need you to do real quick with me. Turn to someone next to you and just say to them, you're the right person. Go ahead, say it to someone this morning. You're the right person. You're the right person. Okay? Now turn to somebody else and say, this is the right place. Go ahead, do it. I see you all now turning. Come on now. Don't make me turn the cameras towards you or something. This is the right place. Today is the right time. Go ahead and say it. Today is the right time. And then ask yourself, though, am I willing to do the right thing? Am I willing to do the right thing? Because I believe the intriguing thing for every one of us, we have missionaries here. We have our missionaries in Vienna. They're the right people at the right place in the right time. They should be there. We have people that are in New Jersey, and we have a group going to New Jersey. And that is a foreign mission field. Trust me, people from Alabama, okay? Because they just crossed entire world zones and had to learn a new language to come to Birmingham. I promise you. I mean, it's you're the right people. It's the right place. Do not think it's by accident that things are happening. We have a God who is in control, and he opens up doors, and he has these opportunities right now all around us if you and I would believe it's me. See, what I don't want you to think this morning, it's them. You could look out and say, they're our missionaries, it's their job. And is it their job? The answer is yes. Are we going to support them? The answer is yes. Do we need to support them even more? The answer is yes. There's going to be 1,000 people go. Are they our people? Yes. But never miss this. There is no one in this room who's going to escape this message this morning, because you're the right person. You're the single mom who happens to be in a relationship with someone down the street, and you have the opportunity to talk to them about the gospel. You're the business owner who can influence the employees that are around you. You're the senior middle-level management who's trying to live out a lifestyle that you may think it's as bad as Nehemiah's, but it's not. You may be the person who thinks, I just want to leave and go somewhere else. You may be the person who goes, I just showed up and I don't know why I'm here. But if you would open yourself up, if you were to say, God, why am I here today, right now? I promise you, you are the right person at the right time in the right place for God to use. You do not need to be somewhere else. You need to be where you are right now as he opens you up to something else. So we're in a place right here this morning. I passed more churches coming down the road from my hotel this morning than I'll pass all the way driving home from the airport back to my house this afternoon. And you may think, well, we are in the middle of the Bible Belt, and that's true. But do you know, there's still tens of thousands of people here in Birmingham who have not come to a personal faith relationship with Jesus Christ. And they are eternally separated from a God who loves them. And they need a Nehemiah who's standing next to a king who begins to sense something and steps out in faith, and he's about to do something great. For those of you, if you don't know the story of Nehemiah, you need to read it. Or you need to show up on Wednesday night, because Jacob preached on Nehemiah 1 a couple weeks ago. Jacob, I took your notes, just so you know. So for repeats, I got it from Jacob. We'll go with that story this morning. But you need to hear what God's about to do. But there's a few things I just want you to process with me this morning to help convince you that you're the right person, the right place, the right time, with the right resources, if only we believe God wants to use us. For no one's better going to reach your children than you. No one's going to better reach your neighbor than you. No one's going to better influence your job than you. So what does that mean to us right now? Let me just give you a few things we just see in the passage just really quickly this morning. And I want to encourage you to just think through 3 or 4 things. Number one, hey, one of the things you can do today as you try to figure out how you're the right person, the right place at the right time, if you're willing to take your resources and do what God has you to do, number one, you must ask good questions. We must ask good questions. So here's Nehemiah. He comes along, and I want you to realize this, because one question can change everything. One question. Now, by the way, we ask questions all the time. I greeted you some people this morning. Hey, how many of you just casually walked up to someone this morning and said, hey, how you doing today? Yeah, you know, good to see you today. Glad you're here, right? So that's a natural thing. By the way, have you ever had one of those conversations when all you meant was how you doing, and it actually became a conversation that you went, I really didn't want to know that much information, right? I just really meant, hey, what's up, and just keep on going. I'm a guy. I'm not really wanting to pay attention. I just want you to know. No, that's not true, okay? But we need to ask good questions. But here's the interesting thing. One question can change everything. I remember it was 1993. It was a Saturday afternoon. I had bought my wife a little present. And when she opened up the present, inside that present was another small present. And it was one of those kind of presents that I was about to ask a question that would change everything. And I took a knee sitting next to her as she pulled it out. And I asked her a question. What do you think that was? Will you marry me? What, are you crazy? I didn't ask her that. Come on. No, okay. I would you marry me? By the way, that question changes everything. Because she actually said, yes. See, some questions are better than other questions. And here's what's interesting in this scenario today. Nehemiah just asked one question. He said, how's Jerusalem? How are things going? Well, let me ask you this. If you were the slave to a foreign king exiled in a land that had been devastated, how do you think Jerusalem was? I mean, do you think he knew how bad it was? I want to say yes. But for some reason, here's what happened today. He asked a question and it broke his heart, which we'll get to in a second, because when he asked it, for some reason, God allowed him to take information he already knew, but to see it completely different. He took something he already knew and he saw it different. I mean, think of it this way. Am I able to see the same things I always see with a brand new perspective? So this afternoon, you all are going to drive home. When you start driving home, I want to know, when you drive by the street in the city and you see a homeless person on the side of the street, or you drive by an area that seems kind of shady, or you drive by different people groups and you think things go on, here's what's interesting. Have you ever driven by something and instead stopped and asked questions and allow your heart to see something that you've always seen before, but you see it differently? You know, it's like the little kids, man. You walk by down the street and there's people that are hungry, but you just, you know, it doesn't take long to not notice them anymore. What's good about going on a mission trip? When you go to places and all of a sudden, God breaks your heart with the things that breaks his. So the second thing we have here is we must open our hearts. First, we need to ask good questions. God, what are you doing here? What do I need to do? How do I need to engage? And then I must allow my heart to be open to the things that are opening in God's heart. In fact, here's a question I need to ask. Am I willing to allow my heart to be broken with the things that break God's heart? You see, one of the reasons that we don't do missions today is either you don't believe in the need of it or you just haven't allowed your heart to be broken by it yet. But when you engage in something, it's really to be able to say, God, do I see the world with the perspective that you see the world? I might look at somebody, and if I'm looking in the fleshly sense with a Kevin eye set, I think, man, they do drugs, they're in trouble, they're hungry, they have problems, but they deserve it because of the lifestyle choices they made. Or I could stop and say, God, how do you see that person? The brokenness, the pain, the life they grew up, the things that they went through. And do I look at them as someone deserving of the pain and the hurt they're going through? Or do I see someone with the eyes of grace that needs God's love and mercy and allow my heart to be broken for that person? For some reason, this day broke Nehemiah's heart. You know what I think happened to Nehemiah? I think he got used to the temple, that even though he was a slave to a foreign king, he got used to the good food, he got used to the good life, he just got used to the, he was just doing what he did, and he just forgot how bad it was down the street. Shades, may we never forget how bad it is down the street. The majority of us, the one thing we may not remember is, what's it like to have life without having a personal relationship with Jesus? What's it like for those who've never experienced his grace? What's it like for those who never experienced his mercy? What's it like for those who don't know about his love? What's it like for those who've never had a chance to even know there's hope? Most of us have a hope for the future. The vast majority of the world doesn't even know there's a chance for the hope. And we have missionaries that we've sent all over the world and we support. And today is one of the biggest days to be able to say, I need you in China. I need you in Europe. I need you in Asia. I need you in India. I need you in Africa. I need you all over the sin cities in the United States. We need to support our international missionaries. We need to support our North American missionaries. We need to support those right here in Birmingham who are serving the poor and the needy and the young. We need it all. But we also need you. I don't need you just to give. We need you to give today. I need you to believe that you're also part right where you are. Some of you need to go. All of us need to engage. Because it's part of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And for Nehemiah, he asked a few questions, and for once he allowed his heart to be broken. I'm kind of a manly man. I really don't want to cry about things in general. But I mean, he cried hard enough that he got on his knees, he wept, he fasted, and he begged God to show up. You know, I think for some of us, that's part of what we need to do in our journey. That we need to be the type of people who are willing to come before God and beg him, God, let me figure out my part. I don't know what it is, but I want to know, Father. Three, let me just say a couple more quick things and we'll finish out. Three, we must engage with prayer. We must engage with prayer. The reason we're here today, when we start looking at the GIC and we're trying to figure out the there, we can support our missionaries there. We can figure out how we can engage. We can figure out how we can come alongside when we believe it. But we must engage with prayer. Everyone in this room right now, we must be willing to just say, God, would you show up? And I would encourage you to use the model of like a Nehemiah's prayer. He looked out at God. He said, God, you're big. You're God. You're awesome. You're mighty. You're controlling everything. And you know what your scripture says, God? Your scripture says if we ignore you and we don't follow you, you're going to allow us to be in big, big trouble. But if we follow you, Father, you promise to bring us all together. God, hear my prayer. I'm asking you to do something now. By the way, it's a great prayer to pray this week. God, I want to follow you. It began with him. If you want to know, he went right back to himself. This is where he started. He said, God, I'm sorry for me. That we need to pray corporately, but we just need to start with us. Am I willing to say three of the hardest words? I am sorry. By the way, aren't those hard words? Let me prove it. Just turn to your spouse next to you and say, I'm sorry, right? It'll be the first time you've said it in a while for some of you. See, I see how many of you are not moving right now. Men and women, go ahead. Go ahead and say it. Kids, you know, students, just go ahead and say it to you. Punch each other as you say it. Say, I'm not really sorry, but only the students can do that, right? But to come before God and say, God, I'm sorry, I want to be used by you. Because you know what I would think? I think young or old, whether you're 16 in this room or 60, or you're as old as Jody. She's 87 now, still being found faithful. From young to the old and everywhere in between, God still has a plan for you. He still has a plan for you. But the fourth thing real quickly as we finish out is we must believe this though. You must say, we are the right people. We are at the right place. This is the right time and I'm willing to do the right thing even if I don't know what that means. If you go over to the book of Romans and Paul came to one of those favorite verses in the Bible and he says this, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, offer yourselves. Y'all heard that before? Or submit yourself. So I was in the Marine Corps, and I remember when I went to, before boot camp, I went and I raised my right hand, and I had to make a pledge, and this is what I said. I pledge myself to the United States government that I will serve them faithfully for the next 8 years. They can send me where they want to go. They can have me do what they want to do, but I give up my life for the next 8 years, because by the way, that's what happens when you join the military. And what I did is I submitted. Let me give you a word to learn this morning. Sub means to go under. What does that mean? What does sub mean? To do what? To go under. Think submarine. Marine is water. Submarine, to go under the water. Submission, when it says submit, sub means to go under another's mission. So God has a mission, and when we offer ourselves and submit, here's what God says. I submit to your vision, and God says, just like the military said to me, I'm gonna send you to boot camp. I'm gonna train you. I'll prepare for you. I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. I will meet all your needs. All you have to do is say, I'll do it. I'll say yes. And today, what you and I need to know is that you're the right person at the right place at the right time with the right resources if you'll just say yes. And I want you to know, and you'll have to invite me back to tell you the whole second part of the story, so we'll see whether that works or not with Danny, all right? But the next couple days, Nehemiah goes before the king. And the king says, what do you want from me, Nehemiah? And Nehemiah had a big ask. He said, I need $1.25 million to go to the next level. That's what I need, King. And would you provide, would God even use a pagan king to provide for the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem? And for those who know the story, the answer is yes. But had not Nehemiah not been there, it might have never happened. This morning, I just want to encourage you. You are the right person at the right place at the right time. Students, you're the right people. No one else can reach the high schools and middle schools like you all can do. Elementary schools for some of you, maybe. College age, no one can reach them like you. Mid-age, young married couples, singles, singles again. Our senior adults, man, hear me, senior adults. You're at the most productive time potentially in your lives. You haven't been relegated or done. You are in a place of freedom that you can impact the world, impact your kids, impact your grandkids. It can happen if you'll just say, it's me. And I need you to do a few things as we finish out. Matter of fact, let me encourage you just to grab that card as you ask whether it's me. Everyone just grab the card. I need you to lift it up and wave it at me today to make sure we're all on the same page. Down here, we're doing pretty good. Back there, going around the top. Do we need to do a wave around the room? Okay, we're doing okay. That's good. I want you to read through just a few things, which I'm going to challenge you to do today, because you're the right people at the right place at the right time. And if you'll only ask good questions and open yourself up and break yourself down into a level of prayer and offer yourselves to be used by him and that you're willing to go and do it, here's a few things. Number one, you could just see this right here. Are you willing to share Jesus with just one person in your sphere of influence? Just one. Are you willing today, right now, on your sheet of paper, is there one person that you know that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus and you recognize, I'm the right person, it's the right time, I live in the right place, I have the sphere of influence, and I will do it. I'm not going to leave it for somebody else. And I promise you, if you don't know how to do it, grab one of the communication cards later and say, would somebody at Shades please teach me how to present the gospel? I promise they'll help you do it. Are you willing to just share with one? I mean, this is pretty easy. Just in fact, do this for me. If you're willing to just pray for one and consider sharing, would you just wave your cards at me this morning? If you're just willing to pray for one and consider it, okay, that's a good start, right? And you realize the church could double in size by next year if you just prayed for one and saw them come to Jesus and they came. That's how much of an influence you can have. So one, just share with one. Number two, am I willing to pray for my unchurched friends and our church's evangelistic and missions activities? Will you pray for these missionaries from Vienna to China to Europe to Asia to Africa and the ones right here? Listen, all of us could be Nehemiahs. We can say sorry and then we can lift up the others. Listen, not everyone will have the place of a king, but everyone was coming alongside Nehemiah and blessing him. And God was about to do something. I'm telling you, I think Nehemiah could have walked away and missed it. You do know this. God didn't need Nehemiah. He could have used somebody else. Y'all know that, right? But you know why we're reading about Nehemiah? Because he's the one who said yes. You see, you might be the next person in God's mission story because you say yes. Are you willing to just pray for them? And third, how can I support the Make Jesus Known offering with a total gift for 2017 of blank? Hey, some of you this morning, you came in with a number even before you came. Some of you need to change that number and increase it. If you decrease the number, that looks really bad for me, so don't do that, right? I don't want it to be about me, but let's just be honest, okay? Come on, make it count. But for Jesus, here's the thing. You're called to give here. Some of you, one of your greatest blessings is you have the ability to use your resources for God's kingdom. But all of us, it's not about how much you give, it's about that we all give. We all engage. Listen, not everyone can go, but everyone in this room can engage. Most of you will go at some point, but right now we can at least go to our neighbors and friends. So here's what I need you to do right now as we finish out this time and I begin to pray for you. I want you to just consider making three checks today. Well, four checks. Three check marks, and then you write one down for a check. Okay, that sounds good like that, right? But three checks. Today, I make a commitment to being live sent. You may feel like I'm just a Nehemiah standing by the king and I can't do anything, but today I want to open myself up to God. I want to allow my heart to be broken. I want to open myself up to what Jesus is doing. And I commit to make Jesus known this year by three things. Number one, would you just mark right now, I am going to try to share Jesus with one person in my sphere of influence. And I promise you, if you don't know how to do that, we want to help you be successful in that. We want you. There's no reason that any of us are not in the place to share the faith with just one. Just one. Two, I will pray for that person. And I will pray for others. I will pray for unchurched family and friends. And I can be an inviter. I may not be able to do everything, but let me tell you, I can invite them to a church where the music is incredible, the video stuff is going on, the missions emphasis is overwhelming, the leader is fantastic, and the people have just been great. I can do that. And lastly, would you just put down what you think God is saying to you now to make that commitment to him, to make Jesus known, to support what we're doing in missions today, all the missionaries that you have, and you need to just keep walking down the halls and come back tonight and experience it. But I want to be a part of what God's doing this generation, and then I'm going to engage also. I'm going to engage right now by writing a check or giving it, and it doesn't have to all be in today. This is the commitment for the next 10 months. I will give during 2018. Here's what I commit to giving. And I'm asking right now that you would open up your heart and mind to God. As we get ready to stop, I just want you to do this. I just want you to take about 30 seconds of silence with me. And I would encourage you, challenge you to pray that you say, God, I want to believe I'm the right person at the right place at the right time with the right resources, and I want to be used by you. Use me, God. And I pray that you would just, maybe if you know one unchurched person, pray for them right now. Maybe if you know a commitment you need to make, just make it right now. And ask God, what do I need to give? I don't want to just give. I want to give sacrificially. I want to give to help impact to the ends of the earth the incredible need of people needing to come to a personal faith relationship with Jesus. I want to be a part. And just write that down today. And as you pray, we're going to pray for you. And then we'll just close out our time together and just celebrate what God's going to do through us as a people who know it's the right time, the right place, with the right resources, if only we would do the right thing. I pray we would all be open to following Jesus today and making him known. Why don't you pray real quick where you are, and then I'll pray with you as we finish this time. Let's pray. Just talk to the Father right now. Ask him to bring somebody to mind that you need to be praying for. If there's something you need to say you're sorry to him about, just tell him right now. He loves you and he promises to forgive and restore. Just say, I'm sorry, Father. Maybe you just need to say, Father, I want to believe that I'm the right person at the right place and right time. It's just hard to believe. Just open up. Say, the answer's yes, Father, if you'll make it clear. Yes, I'll go. Yes, I'll share. Yes, I'll give. And lastly, just say to him, Father, all of that I have, I'm just a steward of everything that's yours. And I want to give back to you because it's yours anyway. Father, help us make you known this year, even as we give an offering today. And as we finish this time, would you just write down that number that God's laying on your heart and say, Father, I do this to glorify you. And Lord, I pray that the combined efforts of these people will be more than we could ask or imagine or conceive. And that each one of us will play our part. That we'll pray for the lost and unchurched. We will invite. We'd be willing to share. That we would all give sacrificially, even Jesus. But we would all engage. May we believe we're the right people at the right place at the right time to do the right thing. And would you be glorified? We love you and we thank you for this time. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.